Good morning. It's the Lord's Day, May the 3rd, 2020, coming to you from what will be, again, an empty assembly, an empty worship room, I should say, where we ordinarily assemble together. This is our eighth Sunday apart, by my count, and we continue to long to be together again soon. This email that has the podcast includes the resources for your family, the Children's Discipleship, Generations of Grace materials. I hope you're keeping up with that. To clarify, the reason you're getting two lessons, you're getting the lesson and links with Ranger Joe and Grace Community Church in California, but you're also getting the lesson where your children would be here at Grace. It's the same year, but we're a few weeks out of sync with them out there. But I hope you're using those in your home and that you'll use those throughout the week, the devotions that you can have with your family. Take just a few minutes together. If you're absent anything else that you can do in family worship, that's certainly a wonderful tool that you can apply. Next week, there's a lingering question still, and we're going to focus on, we talked about parenting, the question about parenting during this crisis. What is it like at home? We talked about that last week. What we still have to talk about now is the relationship between the husband and the wife. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday next week, if you want to tune in to the podcast. On Tuesday, we're going to talk about both of us together. And then on Wednesday, each of us, first husbands, and then on Thursday, each of us will talk about wives. So that's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, both of us together, each of us husbands and each of us wives. Thanks for taking the time to fill out those few questions in the surveys that you got. And if you haven't already, I hope you'll take a minute or two to do that. Just one per household, but it's very, very helpful. And so you know, the comments that you're adding at the bottom, they're helpful also. Make them simple and direct. And understand, we don't know who you are when we read those comments. The responses come to us without any indication of who these surveys are from. And there have been some personal comments, even references for someone from the church, for me in particular, to reach out to the respondent, but we don't know who you are. So if you want to let us know who you are, then we'll certainly respond as soon as we get that direction from you. At the beginning of these weeks of separation, the elders here at Grace wanted to be sure that we would do or were doing all that we could do to stay connected while we're divided up in the space between us. And so we took the fellowship and took you families and divided you among ourselves, and we committed each of us to the regular contacts and visits and emails that I know you all are benefiting from. Any way we could think of to use to speed up or to keep up, I should say, with what was going on with all of you. And of course, that would help us become aware and be able to respond to any needs that might arise during this time. Not each of us as pastors can reach out to all of us, but each of us can reach out to some of us, and it's been a blessing for us for you to allow us to peek into your life on this regular basis. And next week, I'm going to try to add another dimension to that. So since we're still facing at least 3 weeks until we can see each other again together as a church family, I'm going to send out invitations next week in groups of five, maybe seven, to join in a Zoom meeting. And if you know what that means, then you're ahead of the curve. But that's a way we can catch up with one another where we can see each other using technology, kind of an internet meeting. Now, you'll need some tech savviness, minimal. But when you get your invitation, you can respond with your plans to join if you're available. And then if you need to reach out for technical help, we'll try to help you there from the office here. And we'll see if this works. At least it'll give us a chance to catch up with one another, each of us. And so we'll give it a try, and we'll spend a few minutes together, and you can watch for that invitation from me in your email box to join that meeting. All right, as I said, it's the Lord's Day, and I want to spend just a few minutes together in some thoughts. I know perhaps you're planning your own Lord's Day worship together with your family, planning at 12:30 to sync up again with whatever ministry they're broadcasting from Grace in California and Dr. John MacArthur. But some thoughts from me for today, and I would like to get you to grab your Bible if you would. So So I trust it's close by. If not, it's on your device, so it's probably in your hand. And we're going to turn to Psalm 13. Psalm 13 in your Bible. It might be said of David that he wore his heart on his sleeve, or at least on his pen, because his psalms are filled with emotion, the highs and the lows. And while he is inspired by the Spirit, he writes with human passion, revealing his mind, his thanksgivings, his desires. He also is never ashamed to reveal his fears and his longings. And so Psalm 13 met me this morning, and I'm going to allow these words to greet you this morning. Here's what David wrote. Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I'm shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. How long? Perhaps you're like me and you can immediately connect with that emotion, right? That pleading from the heart of David. We're in, as I said, our eighth week of exile from one another. And in many ways, most of us, I suspect, are fidgeting, becoming a bit weary of this interruption, and our hearts, like David's heart, cry out, how long? Four times in just two verses, David says, how long? How long? How long? How much longer? And while this psalm doesn't record an answer from God, the plea is sort of just left hanging in the air as it regards God. But the cry is there, and it's heartfelt, and it's a cry that you find in the Psalms a lot. The idea, how long, but also not just left hanging in the air. It's answered, not directly from God, but from the inspiration of the psalmists and others. So, for instance, if you ask the question, how long, what's the answer that we might most often expect to hear from God? What's the answer to the question, how much longer? Well, it's usually one word, and it's really not the word that we wanted to hear in response to the question, how long? The word is wait. The answer to how long is wait. For instance, in Psalm 27, verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Don't fret. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. Wait. Wait. Not just in the Psalms. The Lamentations of Jeremiah, for instance, Lamentations 3:26. It's good that he waits silently for the deliverance of the Lord. It's also in the admonitions from the prophet Hosea, Hosea 12:6. Therefore, wait for your God continually. So there in Psalm 13, David is asking, how long? How long? How much longer? And the unwritten answer is wait. But that isn't all we have there in Psalm 13. We also have a context. The context is David is facing an enemy. Now, while you read the Psalms of David, oftentimes you'll see him talking about his enemies, his adversaries, and based on what he writes in that particular psalm, you can tell what enemy it is that he's talking about. If you read the record of his life in 1 and 2 Samuel or the Chronicles or the Kings, then you could lay the psalm beside the event in David's life and you'll know what enemy he is talking about. But that's not the case in this psalm. There's no way to, it seems, to trace what enemy is on his mind. So the enemy then is unnamed. And maybe that's to our benefit, because it could be our enemy, the same enemies that we face. It's unnamed, but it's real. The enemy David is concerned about during this time of waiting, his concern is that the enemy is going to become confident, that the enemy is going to claim a victory. Notice what he says, the enemy is going to say, I've overcome him. And then all the enemies, David says, all the enemies are going to be thrilled to see the man of God shaking and fearful and doubting and anxious. Now, I know for many of you, while the pandemic, the invisible enemy, our president has called it, while that's an enemy that we all share, some of you in this time of separation are just facing enemies that you always face. And like David, your heart cries out, how long? How long, O Lord? How much longer? And also notice again in verse 1, it isn't just David saying how long this will last, this threat from the enemy. In fact, that's not even really his heart at the beginning of the psalm. His heart is, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? Will you forget me forever? How long, God, will I seek your face and not find it? I don't have anyone to turn to when you're not here, David says, but my own soul, and I'm poor counsel for myself. You see, David's heart in this psalm feels abandoned. He feels like God has forsaken him. You know that feeling, perhaps? Have you ever felt like that? I think the answer is yes. In fact, I think these emotions are common, more common than we are inclined to admit. So what do we do? How do we respond? We're waiting, 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 but for how long? And the enemies are crouched at the door and they're ready to claim victory, and God seems all but absent. It's a sorrowful picture, and that's exactly what David says in verse 2. His heart is filled with sorrow all day long. Well, I'll say I'm thankful for the Scriptures. I'm thankful for their honesty, and I'm thankful for David's example. Remember, this man wearing his heart on his sleeve, he's also, we're told in Scripture, a man after God's own heart. So my own longing, my own waiting, it seems credible when I see it in the light of David's own waiting. But let's be careful. You know the saying, misery loves company? Well, we have to be careful we don't run to the Psalms just to find company for our misery. The shared emotions are there. The pleas to God are there. The longing, the fears, the sorrows, that's all there in the Psalms, and it's there in this Psalm. But that's not all that's there. Not here and not ever in David's Psalms. He doesn't just leave us there. No, in just six verses in this Psalm, he moves from how long, where are you, what about my enemies, my sorrow is deep. He moves from that to this in verse 5. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. I know, God, that you know, and I know that you care. You love me. And this situation, this separation, this enemy even, is all a part of your loving plan for my life. And so, look again at verse 5. I've trusted in your loving kindness, and my heart will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing, he says. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt, look at it, he has dealt. Ponder that phrase for just a minute. Oh, what a mess, you might say, that I've been dealt. My life, my struggles, my sins, my disappointments. What a mess I've been dealt. Well, don't leave that there. Look again. Remember, the circumstance you're in, he, God, has dealt. And when he deals, it's always for your good. It's always for your bounty. God, David says, has dealt bountifully with me. So I will sing and I will rejoice. So Grace Church, on this Lord's Day morning, let's apply that to us, to all of us. With David, we can ask, as many other churches are asking, how long? How long, O Lord, will you seemingly forget us, hiding your face from us, leaving us to our own counsel, so far away, separated from what means so much to us, our worship together, our fellowship together, our ability to come together and with one voice exalt your name. How much longer? Until the enemy conquers us? And the answer is no. While we wait, we trust. We trust in your loving kindness, and our hearts will rejoice in your salvation. And one day soon, we will together sing to the Lord. And a new song is going to be added to our repertoire. We sing the song of thanksgiving. The song of thanksgiving for this long separation, because in it and through it, our Lord has dealt bountifully with us. We will sing. We will rejoice. We will. And soon. And we'll also talk together again soon.